Why are police photographing our license plates?
What are we doing for veterans returning home damaged physically and mentally, suffering from depression, homelessness, and suicide?
Why did the Supreme Court deposit corporate money into our electoral process?
Should we redefine middle class as working poor? Or is it just another Wall Street merger?
What's really behind new voter picture ID laws in certain states?
Why aren't NBC, ABC, CBS, and Fox asking these questions?
Welcome to The Reasonable Voice Blog Talk Radio. I'm Marcello Rolando. The mission of The Reasonable Voice is to connect the dots between politics and finance, the need for better and more affordable education, our humanity, world peace, and of course, the arts, which we then gladly provide our listeners, the voting public, as informative food for thought to provoke their self-determination and appetite for equal opportunity. The Reasonable Voices are advocates prioritizing education, preserving our history, leading by example for a peaceful and prosperous world by evoking and embracing the creative artist and political unity as solutions to our challenges.
Hello, this is Marcello Rolando, the host of the Reasonable Voice Blog Talk Radio, and my guest today is Christo Victoria. She's a noted published author and motivational speaker, who addresses the needs of future generations, which is certainly a focus we seem to be lacking lately. She's lived a roller coaster ride of a life, if I may suggest, from her journey, including everything from earning A's on honor rolls to Texas jail cells to drug abuse, juvenile detention centers to street life, to her book, her most recent book, The Vicious Cycle. And she is the founder of Target Evolution Institute. Good morning, Crystal. How are you?
I'm good. Yourself?
I am good. Thank you. And so good to be talking to you. Why don't we start with being the founder of Target Evolution Institute? What exactly is that?
Okay. So Target Evolution is actually Target Evolution Entrepreneurial Institute. And what it is a entrepreneurial career school for young adults. We focus primarily on helping people and developing entrepreneurs to build a business model, a sustainable one, and, you know, one built on purpose and passion. We use our students' natural strengths and abilities through taking them through personality assessments when they first enroll. And when they graduate, not only do they have a post-secondary certification, academic certification, they also have an operating business with office space.
Wow.
So exciting, and it is truly geared towards helping our youth realize the importance of education and fostering an environment of economic growth, contributing to job and industry creation.
This is excellent. So, and it has certainly a higher purpose. I mean, all of that's very pragmatic and necessary, but also you choose to inspire millions with your books and nonprofit organization, yes? To be all they can be, to borrow a phrase.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a very exciting time, and I'm just grateful for the opportunity, grateful to be here and be of service.
You know, I've talked to a number of people and organizations lately, and I ask them all this when they talk about entrepreneurship. It seems that in a bad economy, it's a great decision, a great choice to make to sort of set out on your own and you know, find your talents and how you can be your own business person, your own independent person. Do you see a rise in such interest in being in discovering and developing entrepreneurs, such as you were doing?
Well, yes, actually, I do see a rise in entrepreneurship, the aspiration part of it. But I'll say it's like you just said, you're absolutely correct. There's a lot of interest. A lot of people want to start their own enterprise, venture out on their own, and try something different. However, there are just not enough outlets that truly foster creativity in an environment conducive to failure, which is a problem.
Yes.
Because when you are afraid to fail, it's harder to become creative and to try things and to learn by experience. textbook, and that experience infused with education, the proper education on being an entrepreneur and the risk will definitely sustain and give people more of an opportunity to sustain their business and have that longevity in addition. But I really believe that these colleges, our colleges around the nation, they've really got to step up and start pushing and demanding more focus on entrepreneurial education in the high schools. There was a study done that pretty much one in three high school students are aspiring to become entrepreneurs, graduating high school students. And so I think it's very important that we tap into that. Like the Japanese culture does, they plan for the seventh generation. And here in our nation, we don't have that mentality. We haven't adopted that. We used to, but it's got to be rebuilt and restored so that our children can plant their children.
So, you know, I hear what you're saying, and that's certainly true. And now, I guess, the prevailing reaction to our economy, even though it certainly is improving slowly but surely, but is that the next generation is not going to be as better. You know, with each generation in America, traditionally, the next generation has been better off. But if that's not the case, what is the solution? Because I'd like to hear more about this Japanese culture idea that they plan, did you say, seven generations ahead?
They plan for the seventh generation. It's not uncommon for a Japanese company, large major corporation or small business, to have a 100-year business plan. In my company, we have a 50-year one. And, you know, just the fathom, you know, you think like, wow, that's so far away. But really, in today's society, it's not. Information, where things change extremely rapidly. What used to take 5 or 10 years to do and to build now is done in a couple years.
Yes.
And, you know, we have to embrace that and recognize that it provides immense opportunity. And also, it makes it even more important for us to focus on our youth and to provide an environment for them to create. They have got to create. You know, we do tend to think that, you know, the younger generation will not be able to, you know, sustain and, you know, have the successes, you know, that we did. But the
yes.
truth is they get smarter and
yes.
they find more innovative ways of doing things. The rise in technology is amongst our youth is incredible.
Yes.
One of my best friends is a technology genius, and you know he's 35 and has a global company. Has made tons of money. And you know, technically took one, you know, a couple classes in high school. So I think that although we may not follow the route previously charted for traditional education, we do seek out education and we educate ourselves in different ways. And we add value to the economy in doing so.
Yes.
We just find different ways of doing things, you know, and that's just always been a mark of the younger generation.
Yes.
They find more interesting and quicker ways, more innovative ways to develop things. So, yeah, it may seem foreign to the elders, but it works fine for us. And we make it work fine for us.
Excellent. Excellent. Tell me about you wrote From the Streets to the Skies, No Limits. Your life has been a diary of a boss lady. And by the way, everyone, the BOSS is an acronym for being a successful service. Did I get that right, Crystal? Yes.
Being of
successful service. I love that. But tell us about the book and how they're, you know, it's a sky's no limits, et cetera.
Well, From the Streets to the Skies is my autobiography. I made a lot of mistakes as a teenager, and opposed to being ashamed of them, I decided to be honest about it so that I could deal with it myself.
Uh-huh.
I had a really great childhood growing up, and just, you know, I guess it was a lack of appreciation mixed with curiosity. It led me into all kinds of trouble and things that I never thought I would do. And it was really, truly, the most difficult thing was getting out of all that. And so my message to our youth through my book is to go take the high road. And if you're curious about this lifestyle, here, read my book and get my experience. Please don't repeat it. Of course, I would never deprive anyone the experience that just wants to go that route. But, you know, I think that nowadays our hip-hop pop culture promotes such negativity and such chaos, I'll say, as a lifestyle that's acceptable. And sometimes people fall into the trap just because they don't know any better. And we don't all end up as celebrities and, you know, and great artists and doing other amazing things with that type of story. And so for those who are curious as to how that works and, you know, what really is the truth, I wanted to give them, you know, the honest truth of my account of living that type of lifestyle that you hear and see portrayed on our reality TV shows and in our music. It's not all glitter and glam. It's not what it appears to be. And I think the most difficult part about that is accepting that responsibility for all those mistakes once you realize how big they really are.
Yes.
You know, the pain that you cause your family, and, you know, just the damage that you do to yourself and your own future. You know, I can't say that I have any regrets because had I not lived that life, it'd be impossible for me to inspire these youth that are led astray. But, you know, I wish many times that I had made different decisions.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's just, it was hard for me. And so I'm grateful today to be here and to have overcome a lot of my obstacles. I'm grateful that I've had a second chance and that I had the family support and love to help me overcome.
Now tell me, this is your life story is an amazing story, and the journey is still going on, obviously. But I'd like to mention, not to be too flippant about it, from Thelma and Louise, we've learned the film Thelma and Louise. We learned that things are even tougher in the state of Texas and in Dallas. And you, much of what you've done in your journey has been in Texas, yes, including now you're working in the Dallas area. How are there special challenges to make the kind of comeback that you've made in the Lone Star State?
Well, this is the South, so, yeah. You know, sometimes the South tends to be a little bit behind the rest of the world. That's all I'm going to say on that note.
Oh, okay.
I think that things are improving at a rapid pace, and I'm grateful to be part of that transition and that positive change and movement forward. But yes, I honestly believe that it's been hard, and I truly believe it'd be hard anywhere.
Yes.
And, you know, I think the conception is for people to try to find happiness or success in other places. Sometimes it works.
Yes.
And don't get me wrong, it's never a bad idea,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, it, for me, it was, you know, about making it and figuring it out here,
yes.
and then branching off and leaving. Now, of course, you know, I'm from Denton, Texas, which is a little further north of Dallas, so it is kind of like I left home, but I just didn't have to leave the state.
Yes.
You know, I believe, you know, there's a great book, a great classic called by Russell Cromwell called Acres of Diamonds.
Yes.
It says a lot of times our diamond mines are right in our backyard.
Exactly.
So for me, Dallas was in our backyard. It was, it may not have been in the front yard, it may not have been the house, but it's in the backyard.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that, you know, if our success is so much closer than we realize, and it's just about tapping into our resources that are local and reaching out and networking and getting to know people and finding out how you can contribute to your community. It starts there.
Well, I think it's amazing. I think also that people get only the Rick Perry impression of the state of Texas. I have good friends in Texas, and there's a lot more to Texas than Rick Perry. And obviously, you're proving that as well. How do you, I'm sure one of your objectives is to improve the economic conditions in the Dallas area, but how do you decrease the crime rate? Does that come out of the education that you are providing and the training and inspiring of young people?
Absolutely. Actually, I just finished a life transformation kit, Locking the Revolving Door, and it comprises of four books, pamphlet and two workbooks.
Uh-huh.
And what it does is it helps people to transmute
Yes.
It teaches them how to become men and young leaders in the community. And so me and some business partners, we are right now working on getting these programs into our correctional facilities.
Yes.
Here in the local area. I'm doing some work with Dallas County Juvenile that I'm really excited about. We have all 10 juvenile detention centers reducing juvenile recidivism. And we have one penitentiary unit here in the state as well, in which we are using our programs and teaching people how to cope with life without committing crime, how to have a life without committing crime.
Yes.
You know, sometimes people just don't know any better. And we learn all these skills, we'll say, via the street. And you don't realize that they're transferable. They're transferable skills. And just to give you an example, I always say selling, you know, for those that are dealing drugs and selling drugs, that's network marketing. You just don't look at it as stuff. But
good point, yes.
I mean, you have to buy a product that you really don't know about and sell it, or allow it to sell itself, and then recruit a team.
Yes.
Anybody that sells drugs, you know, that's the essence of selling drugs. And so, you know, if you know that that's really network marketing and that you can transfer that skill to a legal business entity, well, I know quite a few people that would.
Yes.
They just don't know any better.
Definitely.
And then they'll have the confidence to move forward, and then they'll have the support system and the network. For every one of me, there's 1,000 that don't have the opportunity.
Yes.
You know, what is the President Obama, you know? And
yes.
So there are so many people that if they have the opportunity, they have the network, they have the encouragement support that I had, they would make wiser decisions. And so, you know, it's about helping people to transition and transmute their mindset and transfer their skills into positive entrepreneurial endeavors. When we look at our Eric Gardner case that happened here in New York not too long ago,
yes.
He was putting cigarettes on the street corner. He wasn't a criminal, he was an entrepreneur.
Yes.
Why wasn't this an opportunity for him to learn how to do this in a legal fashion?
Yes.
You know, and things of that nature, you know, we've got to look and really see what people are doing and what crimes are being committed. It's just, you know, it's about people not having the resources and the opportunities to expand and do better with their lives, and then they're not having the proper education. I mean, we're just so distracted by so many things nowadays.
Yes.
And we really, really have to place an emphasis on really educating our communities, especially, once again, in entrepreneurship.
You know, this is so wise, and I greatly appreciate you making that analogy. I've often said to people, being Italian, if Al Capone had just applied himself those same skills to legitimate businesses, he would have contributed so much more to the world and to himself and still made lots of money. But I hear what you're saying. And also, we're going to take a break, but when we come back, I want to break down how you do this exactly. I know you've got a four-step plan and all that, but also what this revolving door we hear so much about. I've written about it from, you know, high school or high school dropouts, but not just dropouts, high school to the prisons. It's like the revolving door from Congress to K Street. We want to make some of those comparisons and enlighten us. We'll be right back. Stay with us, please. We are speaking with Crystal Victoria, author, motivational speaker, founder of the Target Evolution Institute, Entrepreneurship Institute, I should say. And we'll be right back with her. Don't go away. Stay with us. Thank you.
And now, another film rental discovery.
Welcome to the Indie Film Minute. On entering the world of populaire, it takes a while to understand the journey. Are we to take this jaunt seriously? We might well take our clue from the 50s-era sitcom theme music. This welcome French ditty is to be enjoyed apart from the weight of a weary world. Rose Pompile is the daughter of a small-town shopkeeper. She has big dreams. Oh, to be a secretary. She teaches herself to type with two lightning-fast fingers, and off she runs to the big city. But Rose isn't much of a secretary. She is, in fact, pretty terrible with office skills. But boy, can this girl type. Fortunately, she runs into the handsome Romaine, a frustrated sportsman stuck with running his family's insurance office. Yearning for recognition, he sees an opportunity in Rose, whom he decides to train for the International Speed Typing Contest in New York. Populaire is a singularly stylish French romantic farce presented with a sports edge. As Rose climbs the ranks of typing stardom, she falls for Romaine, Romaine falls for Rose, and neither one quite knows how to consummate their love. Will Rose become world champion? Will these lovers ever find the right time and place? Who cares? Enjoy the ride. Populaire. Not in theaters, discovery through rental. Find us on the web at indiefilmminute.com.
Welcome back to the Reasonable Voice Blog Talk Radio. My guest today, very exciting, I hope you've been with us. She is the founder of the Target Evolution Entrepreneurship Institute in the Dallas area with some very specific goals, an organization that's proactive in future generations by creating jobs right now in the present. So we touched on the difference of our cultures and how the Japanese think 100 years out, and Crystal Victoria as company has a 50-year plan. And I love, again, I want to mention The Diary of a Boss, because it's so much, I think, like her own life. Boss being, standing for being of successful service. What a phrase to live up to. What a goal. Being of successful service says it all. All right. Now, welcome back, Crystal, by the way. I just find this exciting. I'm going on and on. But how do you, I know you've got a four-step plan. How do you accomplish this with young people who may not have been given, as you've pointed out, the educational opportunity? That meaning, if you don't know that you can do better, if you're not being told you can do better and how you can channel your talents, then you don't have as good a chance to do that. You make bad choices. So how do you target the people you can work with and train and help them grasp what they have within them? There you go. How's that for a question?
great question. Well, we have a very intense assessment process. In order for us to help people individually and create unique programs that are specific to an individual, we have to first understand where they are.
Yes.
And that is where our personality assessments come in. We do grit testing, and we do basic skills testing just to see, you know, what you do know, where you're at, you know, in your education, and then who you are.
Yes.
What are the strong points of your character and your personality? What are the good things that make you up? And how can we use those good things in a business model? And what parts of the business would be more conducive to you and your natural strength?
Uh-huh.
Once we find that out, then we can help you to find out, you know, pick an industry, pick, you know, find some things that you're passionate about,
yes,
that you enjoy doing. And I always ask the question, what would you do all day, every day, even if you never got paid for it?
Good question. Always a good question.
And in that question, in addition to how, what do you do better than most people, and how do you give back and be of service to your community? Those three questions formulate a passion.
Yes.
Also, my business coach, I have a phenomenal coach, and I have other coaches that I work with as well, has created a system, an assessment system called Activating the Keys. And these keys are different, what we call, you know, spiritual laws and universal truths,
uh-huh,
that help to create our world. And we used to tap into them historically. What my business coach would tell you was that if you look at our history and at some of our wonders of the world, we'll,
yes,
start with the pyramids.
Yes.
These things have never been duplicated. Why? Because we can't. What lost knowledge is there where the ancient Egyptians could create this pyramid without our modern technology, without our education? How did they create these perfectly made pyramids that no one has been able to recreate in all of these years? They had knowledge that we have found that's actually lost.
Yes.
And it's not that it's lost, it's just that we've overlooked it.
Uh-huh.
It's knowledge that's a simple, it's natural cycle, and paying attention to the world around you. And so those natural things, those things that we have to incorporate into our businesses also in our personal lives to live in harmony with our environment. And so we really work on developing people by tapping into their natural core being, who you are, and bringing that out and developing that person into the best that it can be for the purpose of the betterment of society.
Sure.
And through an entrepreneurial vehicle. So, you know, for me, I'll answer those questions and give people an example. I love to read, I love to write, and I am really good at math. But if I had to do something all day, every day without getting paid for it, I would write and talk. Read, write, and talk. That would be it. What do I do better than most people? Well, hey, I write and talk. So
yes.
How am I of service to society? I produce books. I create books. I do talks on helping people with positive thinking and, you know, just becoming, you know, following their passion-driven, purpose-driven careers.
Mm.
But I do it through those two things, writing and talking, and I love it. And in addition to that, I also enjoy business models and developing businesses and finding out how to build a business model around our core passions. And, you know, so that we can create cash flow.
Sure.
Because, of course, we would all love to do something that we love to make money. And the truth is, we can. Sometimes we can't do it immediately.
Uh-huh.
We have to build ourselves to it. And sometimes it's only something we can do on the side, you know, especially when you think about having kids and a family.
Yes.
You know, so you have to do what you need to do short term in order to enjoy what you want to do long term.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, by doing so, people are much happier, though. Even if you do have to work a boring 9-to-5 job, you know that you can come home and immerse yourself in your rock collection business sewing business. This is really, you know, and that's another thing. We teach a lot about stress relief and stress reduction.
Yes.
Drug use is the symptoms of much larger problems.
Yes.
And, you know, whatever those problems are, you know, you have to learn to forgive and learn to establish a peace within yourself. You have to learn to like yourself.
Yes.
And realize that you are worthy and deserving of all good things, which
yes.
will then, too, in turn, motivate you to educate yourself.
Yes.
So a lot of the things, a lot of our issues are very simple, and a lot of times you're so used to dealing with the effects and missing the root cause. People aren't happy, and, you know, they have no peace right now. And people are not tying that to the fact that so many people are doing things just to make money instead
yes.
of things that they enjoy.
Yes.
And when you're not operating in your purpose and following your dream, it is almost impossible, and it's not impossible, but almost, for you to encourage that next person that's wanting to follow their dream.
Yes.
And so, kind of like a crab in a bucket syndrome, it is incidentally prevented by infusing and invoking your fears and your beliefs into that other person. And that's happened time and time again.
Yes.
Our own fears and our own experience, we pass those things down to others and don't realize that we affect their ability to go for it.
Yes.
And, you know, I always say the sky is not the limit because there are footprints on the moon.
Yes, right.
And here, we'll be putting a satellite on Pluto, exploring galaxies and planets beyond the Milky Way next year. And it's taken the satellite for maybe 10 years to get to Pluto. But we're there now. And
yes.
so many things that were once considered impossible are possible.
Yes.
And they're getting ready to just, you know, be normal to us. And that's how it always is. You know, it's always impossible until it's done. We look at Richard Branson, who now has Virgin Galactic, which can take people on a trip around the planet and land back with the precision of a helicopter.
Wow.
I mean, there
yes.
is nothing that is impossible now. We're getting trips around the world are going to be as normal as flying to L.A.
It's
you know, and,
uh-huh.
you know, those are all things that we have not realized. Like, wow, do you see what kind of advancements in technology that we're creating every day?
Uh-huh.
And I think that, you know, if we really, truly embrace those things, we won't be so afraid of following our dreams or trying something new. Because that's all the great people do is try something new, fail, and go at it again.
You know, this, I hear what you're saying, and this is all true. It's so impressive, and you're actually, you know, doing it to folks who might not see what you're talking about. But once it is revealed to them, and they're given some inspiration, they can at least walk with it until they can run with it. It's excellent. Tell me, one of the things I mentioned at the end of our last segment, there is a pragmatic challenge to some people anyway in our population. This whole, this prisons for profit, I have a real problem with that. But when people make money off of incarcerating people, that's a dangerous thing. But now from your side of the revolving door, how do you, well, one thing, you're an investor level member of the Greater Irving Las Colinas Chamber of Commerce and a board member of Girls Living Life on Purpose. I love that. Now, because I guess we know, if only from the Oscars, if we're only checking in on the Oscars, we know that women are not paid as well as men, or as much as men, or equally the economic opportunity, and that is even more serious. There's even more of a distance when those women are not white women, but women of color, black, brown, yellow, whatever. And then even beyond that, when they're girls and how they're brought up and, you know, taught that they're not as good one way or another. So your nonprofit organization seeks to empower and educate young women. Let's talk about that. I know I kind of got away from the prison angle, but it all comes together and we'll get to that. But how young are you reaching out, and what's your response to the younger female population?
Well, to, you know, kind of bring together what you just said, first off, self-esteem. Self-esteem, I said, and self-worth is something that motivates people, in addition to that confidence, leads to the motivation of education.
Yes.
But self-esteem is critical for everyone, as a youth, especially young women. I think, as I do know, just in conversations with different, you know, people, is that, you know, us young black females, we actually have a little more confidence than other races of women. And I don't think we realize it, because, you know, so often, you know, we have these things that are degrading going on around us.
Yes.
But we tend to actually, you know, build self-esteem a little quicker. And self-esteem is critical to the up-and-coming young lady, to a little girl that's playing with dolls. Self-esteem is telling young girls, you're beautiful, you're capable, you're worthy.
Yes.
I am grateful that you have some hip-hop artists that did tap into the encouragement and the motivation of self-esteem for young women. You know,
yes.
There are some women empowerment rap songs. And I think for this younger generation, the generation behind me, I think our young women in that generation got it. And if you look at the statistics about who is enrolled in colleges and universities worldwide, it's a higher percent of minority women enrolled in colleges around the country. And although men may get paid more in corporate America,
yes,
I've noticed that minority women are higher in demand. We are the type that we will do everything for our jobs.
We'll
even, you know, I hate to say it, but we'll neglect our kids to make sure we're at work taking care of our business.
Yes.
And we do such a darn good job at it.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with it. My mom was an example of that. I mean, my mom, don't get me wrong, my mom loved me. I have a great mother. But, you know, my mom was making the money, and she was working in the company. And, hey, she had to go to work. And her job, you know, gave her purpose, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yes.
So I think that, you know, about being a woman or girl living life on purpose is about having confidence to pursue a career and not feeling bad about it, not feeling slighted because of it, and allowing everything else around you to just happen because it's going to do so anyway.
Fantastic.
Now, about the incarceration rate and what's going on there.
Yeah, so let's talk about the vicious cycle. Your most recent book, right? The Vicious Cycle, A Key to Unlocking the Revolving Door. Enlighten us, yes.
So, what I want to say about that is the movie Selma could not have been more perfectly timed.
Yes.
I'm grateful for every actor and every body Oklahoma.
Yes.
Because that is what we have gotten away from. We do not vote.
Yes.
We have got to vote because these privatized prisons only have power because of the people in office that we do not vote out. And that we do not educate ourselves on who they are and what their affiliations are to know what they're in office for.
Uh-huh.
We have got to educate ourselves on our election candidates from the state level to the Fed. Don't just go vote because Barack Obama is running.
Yes, yes.
You've got to vote your local election. You've got to get out here in the state elections. You need to know who's in the Senate. We need to know who's running all aspects of the city and the county. And definitely, you know, who's in our House of Representatives. Our government is the reason privatized prisons exist.
Exactly.
And the only reason is because we give our power up by not voting or educating ourselves on the candidate. It's very simple. It's not as, you know, people only give them the power you allow them. You know, people only have the power that you give them. If you give them your power and get mad about what they're doing about it,
Take your power back. Yes.
MLK did not. That Selma is not a movie and not a story for no reason. MLK
yes.
is telling us, and we always, you know, another thing that frustrates me, and I hate to say it like this, but we have some amazing celebrities that on a regular basis tell our black community what we need to do. They do it in their own way.
Yes.
You know, and I think the movie is their way of saying, this is what you need to do. We're not going to get out of here and protest with you and give you signs and give you money to go take down the police. Okay?
Yes.
We're going to tell you what you need to do, which is vote.
Yes.
You get the right politicians in office, everything else will take care of itself. But you have got to educate yourself and vote. Stop paying attention to our lives and being so concerned about what we're doing and who we're marrying and who's on drugs. You know, get out of here and vote and educate yourself and take care of your community. And all of these problems that we can complain about will go away. And they're right. So, you know, it's about time that we come together, stop holding each other back, trying to stop, you know, judging each other. You know, I think, as I have developed my own company and gone through, we'll say, the channels and the process,
yes.
I have more issues that come from my own community because I don't have these credentials, because I did get in trouble. But people fail to realize that no one can help our youth better than I can.
Yes.
I've gone to school. I paid that for school cash out of my pocket before, and it didn't help me because of the trouble I got into previously.
Yes.
You know, so it hurt me, but even more so because now I have financial trouble on top of having to deal with rejection. You know, let me just get out here and take care of my business and run my business and educate myself along the way. And people have a problem with that. You know, and I think that, you know, when the real issue is that it is so easy to read a book and regurgitate information. It is so hard to get out and to go and do something that you've never done before.
Yes.
And kind of jump out of a plane and build a parachute on the way down, if you will.
Yes.
And that's what entrepreneurs do. We jump out of a plane and build a parachute on the way down.
On the way.
And so many people can't do that, and we incidentally, once again, place and invoke our fears and our concerns or our insecurities on those that do. You know, it is, you know, I've dealt with several things, and, you know, and it all goes back to the same thing. The things that other people fear are a reflection of the fact that somebody didn't do something they know they should have done.
Yes.
And the fact that I'm doing it makes them uncomfortable.
Yes.
Okay, well, why don't you get out here and do it? It's very simple. And all of these fears that are in your head, stop it, you know. And then partner, network with each other, collaborate with others that can help you, and understand that you're not going to be able to do everything by yourself. I am so grateful for my team and my board of directors. They remind me that it's not all up to me, that, you know, they are specialists in their fields for a reason. I don't have to be the expert at everything. I don't have to know everything. Mm-hmm. I need to know a little bit about, you know, most things, but I don't have to be an expert in everything in order to make a difference, and neither does anyone else. And I think that's where a lot of people fail, is in looking at what they don't know opposed to just doing the best at what they can with what they have and what they do know. And that's opportunities for others to pick up on my weaknesses and saying, hey, I don't know enough about this area to really, really, truly do it as well as you can. Why don't we partner together and I can do this for you and you can do this for me?
Yes.
And we can make money together and be honest and help each other and both survive and thrive. You know, I think it's time for more collaboration.
Absolutely. And that is a very high note on which to end. We've run out of time. I do want to say two things. That what's next for you is an independent film, I understand, inspiring young people to fulfill and reach their goals in education and positive thinking. But I'd also like to end on, how do people get in touch with you and get involved with the Institute? Website or what? Any contact information that you care to share with us for that?
Absolutely. So for Target Evolution Entrepreneurial Institute, our website is teebiv.com. So that's T as in Tom, E as in Elephant, E as in Elephant, I as in Indigo, B as in Boy, I as in Indigo, Z as in Zebra. Now, if that just really confused you because it rhymes, you can visit my website, which is crystalvictoria.com, and that is spelled regular crystal, C-R-Y-S-T-A-L, victoria.com. You can reach out to me on Facebook. I'm on facebook.com/bossladydiary, and I'm on Twitter and Instagram at diaryboss. You can reach out, follow me. If you'd like to send me an email, you can reach me via email at crystalvictoria107@gmail.com. So I respond typically within 24 to 48 hours. I welcome comments and suggestions, as well as opportunities and different ideas on what you're working on. So reach out to me. Let me see how I can help you, if I can be of service. And if I can't, I'll connect you with someone that will. But we definitely are always looking for people that can, you know, help mentor our youth and just help them become amazing and create things for their kids and the younger generations that follow.
Fantastic. This has been an exceptional interview. Thank you so much, Crystal Victoria, author, public speaker, inspirational, I should say, motivational speaker. You are changing lives, and I'm sure it reaches further than Dallas, Texas. Everyone, please communicate with Crystal Victoria. You will be happy that you did. Thank you again so much, Crystal, and all the best to all you do and all those for with whom and for whom you do it, okay?
Thank you so much. God bless.
God bless. Bye now.
Stay with us as we'll be right back with a final comment from The Reasonable Voice.
And now, another film rental discovery.
Welcome to the Indie Film Minute. When Mike Lee sets out to make a film, the players settle in for a marathon. Once cast, the actors and crew gather for months of preparation. They inhabit every beat of the film, refining until collectively they have become their characters through participating in their very birth. Mike Lee films are nuanced feasts, brim full of the minute details of humanity. And Mr. Turner, starring Timothy Spall in the titular role as English master painter J.M.W. Turner, is no exception. Through the portal of this detailed imagining, we come to know Turner in all his oafish, misogynistic, brilliantly talented, selfish, and selfless beauty. Drenched in detail, the film seemingly provides an even deeper and more interestingly nuanced version of this great artist than the reality might have ever been. The icing on this delicacy is the film's intricate representation of life for rich and commoner alike in 18th century England, a time of opulence for the fortunate few and extreme hardship for the masses. As Mr. Turner bumbles and rumbles through these disparate worlds, Lee provides us with privileged access, a welcome opportunity for intellectually rich and rewarding observation. Mr. Turner, not in theaters, discovery through rental.
Find us on the web at indiefilmminute.com.
Hello, I'm Marcello Rolando, The Reasonable Voice, thanking you for joining us and becoming one of the reasonable voices heard round the world. Free at last. We are free at last to commit random acts of love or violence to occupy the dream of genuine economic equality for all of God's children, male and female, of every color and social-political persuasion. However, we are not yet freed from the nightmare of police using black faces for target practice on local shooting ranges, modeled after upscale conservative Republican gun clubs, all fired up and ready to go point blank wherever freedom dares show its I have a dream face. Still, free at last to ignore our own terrorists like cokehead Scott Walker's union-busting coup, Sam Brownback's sin tax on Kansas citizens he cannot forgive for trespassing against him, and a 114th Republican Congress cutting school lunches. Still free at last to take the shot before the chapter's completed, making our Dallas assassination anniversary day come true again in bloodied Cleveland Park. Free at last to fulfill the dream of being a Boko Haram extremist with handcuffs hauling off a girl distraught with grief where unattended brotherly evidence lies dying. Free to take her by force because you are the long cherry-picking arm of the law. Caught on camera, cotton-picking skin color rice is finally free to be the dream, but far before it was his time. Now added to the list of names who cry out enough is enough and sue with kingly peaceful demonstration, we shall overcome. After Descendant of Slaves is set free from the White House, what cartoons by the millions will humans buy? Freedom for preemptive war after 9/11? Freedom for protesting Charlie Hebdo Islamist rising up in former French colonies? Freedom for brief social chant, bring back our girls. Or freedom for reasonable response to Earth's warmest year ever. I still have a dream of a Pope Francis showing the way to marry scientific knowledge to the peace which passes all understanding, giving birth to unexpected acts of kindness. We are finally free at last to enact the American dream. Whether kings or slaves, a village of guardians or militarized police state, walking in the footsteps of giants like Gandhi, FDR, and being our best even when the cameras are off, like J.J. Watt, or disproportionately jailing those with tanner skins in private prisons for profit. Jeering at dead gay people attending their own funeral is but another rendition of religious murder, just as skin color is motivation for official target practice. If photos of puppies, would Rick Scott's police shoot down black people like dogs? As Richmond, California Police Chief Chris Magnus could tell you, all lives matter, and no one is free until all are free. Yes, we are free to think aspirin between our knees will keep our sons and daughters ignorant of same-sex marriage, or safe from kidnappers, pedophiles, flu, and bullies. But climate change and global warming? We are free to define terrorists as Islamic extremists while hacking North Korea before it hacked Sony, and lending media credibility to the lie of Muslim no-go zones. We are free at last to pretend away the terrorism of Westboro phony Christians raiding LGBT funerals against flaming fair but hailing to the burning G.W. Bush. The state of our union is the 99.9% can be free at last from the 1%'s top 1%, the very moment we turn to them with this epiphany for the state of our union. Not all terrorists are foreign-born, attired in clothing we cannot pronounce. Some hide their faces in expensive suits, operating puppet strings behind tinted penthouse windows at expert networks, dealing out insider information through banking conduits to gated community bonuses. To be free, we need only remember why Lady Liberty's torch lights our pathway to justice for all. For that is freedom's home of the brave. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty. Now you finish it. Join us. Become one of the reasonable voices heard round the world. Thank you.
Thank you for continuing to listen to, support, and share the Reasonable Voice Blog Talk Radio with family and friends, especially online. We enjoy hearing from you, and in response, yes, we are now accepting new company and business advertisers and welcoming organizations seeking to be one of our sponsors. So please do continue to email us at thereasonablevoice@gmail.com. However, if you prefer to simply make a donation, your donations are greatly appreciated and can be made through PayPal by clicking on the donate button found at the top of the homepage of the Reasonable Voice. Voice.com website.
Thank you for joining us today to make every day as reasonable as possible. We hope you will download and share our downloadable podcasts. I am Marcello Rolando, the Reasonable Voice, hoping you will become one of the reasonable voices heard around the world.